Ladies, welcome to our Nanotel conference lecture. Tonight we are blessed to have with us Rabbi Mordechai Roy. He's spoken to us a few times. It's always a pleasure to have him on, and tonight is no exception. Thank you, Rabbi Roy, for coming on. He has a phenomenal, love his bio. I can just look at this all day. Okay, guys, are you ready? He's a certified family mediator. I know I was impressed with this the first time I read it, who specializes in Shalom Bias communication. He has been in the Rabbinate for almost 20 years. He lives in Baltimore. And he also is a director of Teach 613, T-E-A-C-H 613. And I know I get the newsletters with the Ray Tire in it and also very, very wonderful things. And I know last time people were interested in this, a family mediator who specializes in Shalom Bias. So we shouldn't need it, but if you ladies ever do need one more contact information about that, please feel to reach out to me and I will connect Rabbi Ryan for you. Tonight's topic is really a beautiful topic, understanding tefillah as a conversation, which is very important. So with that introduction, Rabbi Ryan, thank you. Thank you for joining us. And without further ado, please, Rabbi Ryan.
Thank you so, so much, Mrs. Capel. Really an honor always to join Aneinu. And as always, a big, big yasher koach to all those who gather so diligently and say tehillim that is so, so needed for so many things that are close to us and on a global level. Just tehillim really connects us. And it's really much appreciated. Our topic tonight, seeing tefillah as a conversation, something very dear to me. I've been paying a lot of attention to the power of a conversation, and suddenly a lot of the things that the Mefarshim say about tefillah have really become very relevant and very clear. Tefillah is a mitzvah. Mitzvah d'oraisa, mitzvah d'rabbanon. It's a mitzvah. And as Jews, we're very good with mitzvahs. We can daven dutifully, if that's what's asked of us, three times a day or more. Whatever's needed, we can do it. We're good with mitzvahs. Even if they're a little odd. You know the saying, we can wear sneakers with our suit on Yom Kippur if that's what's required. We can immerse our kitchen utensils in the mikvah if that's what's needed. We'll check our garments for shatnez and we'll daven. But that's not the kind of mitzvah that davening is. Rachmana liba boy. Hashem wants it to be meaningful, wants it to be heartfelt. Al ta'as tefilos hakeva barachamim v'sachanunim, the Mishnah says. Don't make your davening an obligation, but rather it should be an entreaty, it should be a relationship, it should be a conversation. And bringing tefillah, which is a mitzvah, even if we're not in the mood, there's still a regimen of davening. Whatever men are obligated, whatever women are obligated, but there is a regimen each day. And to bring it from that to where it really is supposed to be, a conversation, is an avodah. It's really, it's avodah shebeleiv. It's an act of service. It's a tremendous accomplishment. Ramat Yisrael Solomon once shared a very beautiful thought. He said, sometimes when we daven, it's just hard because we're not talking to any person. It's just hard. And he said a very profound analogy. He said, you watch people talking on a phone. there's no one there either. But as long as we know that there's someone on the other end, we're okay. We talk some more. Suddenly, if the line is disconnected, that's a whole different thing. Then I'm going to stop talking. What's the point? But as long as I know that there's someone on the other end listening, we're good. We're able to talk. And on some level, that's what tefillah is. There's a confidence that Hashem is listening. There's a great quip. Does Hashem listen to tefillah? And as the quip goes, do you listen? If you're listening, then Hashem's listening. Hashem listens even if you don't listen, by the way. Hashem's more benevolent with us than we are with ourselves. But on some level, that's true. That's kavana. Are we paying attention? If we're paying attention to that extent, the conversation is meaningful. Now, as we daven, we're using, typically, a set text. And certainly there's room for spontaneous prayer throughout the day. Certainly there's room in davening for us to express ourselves in our own words. But most of what we consider the davening experience is formulated. There's a text, and that's what we follow. It helps if we appreciate the nuance of the text that we're following. A simple example. Typical in brachas. The bracha starts off with us talking directly to Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. You. And then we end up talking more like third person type of thing, like distant, like respectful. Shehakol nehiyeh bedvaro, that everything is through his word. Not your word. His word. We're still standing in front of Hashem. Nothing changed. But we switched, as we sometimes do in speech. We switch between active voice and passive voice. We switch between less in-your-face conversation to more abstract, and we hope the person gets the message. We also sometimes switch, apparently, between you, which apparently we have permission to do with Hashem at times, to something more reverent, something distant. And all of this is strategic. Some of the Mefarshim understand it, that each time we say Baruch Ata Hashem, we're awed in Hashem's presence and we back off. But whatever the explanation is, it helps to understand the words that we're saying and the tense and the terminology that we use. A simple exercise to really appreciate this. If you look at Ashrei, Ashrei Yoshvei Ve'secha, fortunate are those who dwell in your house. Yours. Aromimcha Elokai HaMelech, Aromimcha is you. I'm going to exalt you. And we continued going in that vein, except Chanun V'rachum Hashem. Suddenly, we've backed off. We're in the abstract. We have tremendous reverence. We're not saying the word you. Tov Hashem Lakol. Hashem is good to everyone. In the letter Yud, we switch back. Ma'asecha, your deeds. Malchuscha, in Mem, your kingdom. Gevurosav, paying attention to the exact words that we're using gives us a unique rhythm and heartbeat as to how we're expressing ourselves. Which brings us to the very essence of what a conversation is. A conversation is not a speech. A conversation is an informal exchange of thoughts, feelings, and information. And there are many things that we can do with a conversation. A conversation can be an appeal, a request, an advocacy. A conversation can be simply a communication. It can be an expression of gratefulness and thanks. It could be a straightforward request. But whatever it is, it's helpful if we're looking to make tefillah meaningful, to understand what it is that we're looking to do with that particular expression. We say something. What is it that we're trying to express? What is it that we're trying to achieve? There's something very remarkable in the field of conversation. It's called empathetic listening. It's a fascinating experience, often used in various therapies, used in mediation, used in just relationships, where the listener listens well and doesn't say much. Empathetic listening essentially invites the petitioner, invites the speaker to speak heartfelt, without judgment, to speak meaningful thoughts, and the response of the listener is really just to listen and to affirm that they're listening. They might give a nod with the head, they might give a gentle, to say that they're getting it. And what happens is that the person who's talking is able to talk and feels that they've been heard. It's a fascinating experience in conversation, and I believe that it is meant to be as well in tefillah, because Hashem does listen to us. And if we pause and we allow in our mind's ear to hear Hashem, I get you. I understand. I may or may not grant your request. I may or may not agree with you. But Hashem hears us. You know, computers, there's something called zip file. A zip file can be done in a variety of ways, but essentially what it does is compresses the information that's in that file, whether it's a picture, a spreadsheet, whatever it is, that until now took up a lot of memory on the computer. And it compresses it. And like this, it takes up less storage. It's able to be sent by email, even if the file in its original usable form was too big to be sent by email. Zip files are great. They're just amazing. There's only one problem. You can't use a zip file. It has to be unzipped, decompressed, in order to use it. And I would wonder thoughtfully if sometimes we slip into a routine of davening as if it's a zip file. What I mean by that is that it stops becoming so meaningful because we're doing it dutifully. We're doing it like we checked for Shatnez and like we did mikvah on our kitchen utensils because we needed to. And we did it. And we davened quickly and we davened efficiently. But we didn't have a conversation. A zip file takes away all the spaces between the information. It just jumbles them in order so that it can still be unpacked. But it's so compressed that it's not meaningful. If, on the other hand, we slow down and we allow for empathetic listening, we allow ourselves to say, Ata chonen la'adam das, you Hashem, grace humanity with intelligence. And we pause. And Hashem nods at us and says, that's correct. That's my gift to humanity. And then we continue, Chonenu, please, give us the wisdom. We need wisdom. Our doctors need wisdom. The people running the country need wisdom. The economists have to make good judgments. Everything can unravel day and a week and an hour. Chonen hadoas. And to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol saying to our bracha, Amen. I get you. I understand. Right? The Gemara, where the Kohen Gadol turns to Hashem and says a tefillah, and the Gemara concludes, V'nena li berosho. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu nodded to me, Kaviyachol, and said, well said. I hear you. There's a fascinating halacha in Shema that after we say Shema as the pasuk and then Baruch Shem as the pasuk, the halacha says that we're supposed to pause before we continue with the Ahavta. We're supposed to differentiate between Kabbalas Ol Malcha Shamayim, accepting Hashem as our King, and then the mitzvahs which follow. Why? What's that pause about? What are we stopping for? What are we reflecting on? And I believe that there's something very profound here that over the course of life, we can definitely experience. We're loyal. We're Jews. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, no matter what. Historically, Jews have died al Kiddush Hashem with those words on their lips. We're no-nonsense people. If that's what's needed, we have that. And yet, sometimes, the ahavta, you should love Hashem, feel His love, and reciprocate. Sometimes that's not so easy. Sometimes things don't seem to be going the way we think they should be going. I was once going through a difficult time period between jobs, other fluctuations, and my Rebbe shared with me such a beautiful story, very thoughtful. He said, there was once a Jew, we'll call him Shmuel, and before Pesach he went and he bought grain and he had it ground. And he's coming back to town with a sack on his back full of flour that he's going to bake into matzahs. And as he's walking across the bridge, coming into town, this tremendous gust of wind causes him to lose his balance. And he falls off the bridge into the water with his sack of flour. Now, whether the flour can still be used to make bread is interesting. But he wanted to make matzah, and now it is ruined. And in this moment, he turns to heaven, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know why you just did that to me. I worked so hard to get this flour, such love, to be able to make matzahs. I don't know why you just did this to me. But I just want you to know that I love you very much. And if we switched places, and I was in your place, and you were in my place, I would not have done that to you. Now, if I would have heard this story from anyone but my Rebbe, I would have thought, you know, it smells from Apicursis, heresy. I mean, what kind of story is that? If I was in your place, but you're not. But there's a reflection here. I'm a loyal Jew no matter what. Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, I'm in. And that's going to be true even if sometimes the V'ahavta, it's a little confusing to me maybe. Could be. And I think one of the beautiful things about Yahadus, about Torah, is that we're allowed to be in touch with who we are and what our challenges are and where we're up to. A person is allowed to feel, that choose an emotional word that describes how I'm doing right now. I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm conscious, I'm desperate, I'm tired, I'm passionate, whatever it is. Of course, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, that's our goal. But not make-believe. I mean, of course, we push ourselves, but we still have to be in touch with ourselves and know how we're feeling. I think that's why Tehillim has such a resounding, responsive chord with people. Because David is not your perfect tzaddik in some idyllic state. Sometimes he's desperate. Sometimes he's pained. Sometimes he's really, really overflowingly joyous. He's a person. And that's what tefillah is meant to be. It's meant to be a genuine conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They say a story about the Satmar Rebbe who davened for the Amud, led the congregation on Yomim Noraim, and he had a very distinctive way of davening. So at a particular celebration, a chasna, a badchan, a professional joker, asked the Satmar Rebbe if he could imitate the davening. So good-naturedly, the Satmar Rebbe said, it's fine, you could. And the badchan gets up, and he starts imitating every krecht of the Satmar Rebbe perfectly. Bein! And everybody's getting into it. And from the corner of his eye, the Batchan can see that the Satmar Rebbe is crying. So he realized something's not right here, and he brings his presentation to a quick close. And he goes running over to the Rebbe and says, "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean anything bad. I'm sorry." And the Rebbe said, "You didn't do anything wrong. I gave you permission. You did fine. But as you were imitating me, I realized that it's possible that each year, Yomim Noraim, as I get up to Davin, it's possible that I'm just imitating myself. And that's not genuine tefillah. And that shocked me. And that's why I was crying." You know, they say the story of a politician who gets up with his notes, and someone peeks over and looks at the notes, and he sees it says all kinds of great slogans, and then penciled in the corner is "weep here." It's all staged. We're not looking to daven like that. That's not authentic. We're looking to truly be in touch. You know, we just experienced Shavuos, so going back all the way to Pesach might be a little bit unfair. But there's a lot of commentary about those words before Manishtana, Kan HaBen Shoel, over here, the child asks. And the Mefarshim say that it's not just Manishtan that we can ask. If we feel Hashem's love, we're able to communicate. We're able to ask. Asking is valuable in and of itself. This is one of the great lessons of communication, of having a conversation. The conversation is valuable, even if it's not convincing, even if it doesn't get you what you want, so to speak. To be able to have a conversation, to have that confidence. I have, Baruch Hashem, right now, blessed our youngest child, 3 years old. Every age is beautiful, but there's something just stunning about walking on the sidewalk together with my son and reaching out my hand that he should hold it, and he senses that my hand is there, and he reaches up his hand and grabs. There's a trust, there's an experience, and essentially that's what Hashem wants to have with us. Kan HaBen Shoel, you see what I did with Yetzias Mitzrayim. You see how I blew Mitzrayim away with 10 makos. You see how I provided you in the desert. A thought I'd like to get to in a few moments. I'm reaching out my hand to you. Take it. And when you want, reach out your hand and I'll take it. Because we have a relationship. There's a tefilas haparnasa for livelihood, which many people say at the end of davening. And the concepts there are certainly not limited to livelihood. It's really any tzorech, anything that a person needs, the ability to turn to Hashem and ask for it. And the wording there is really remarkable. We say that Hashem is Ose Nisim Im Avoseinu. Hashem does miracles with our ancestors in all generations. Gam Bamidbor Himtarta Lahemon. And also in the desert, you granted them mind. And it struck me, also in the desert, you gave mind. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is that there are miracles all the time. Nisecha shebechol yom imanu. The miracles that Hashem is with us all the time, to be touched by them, to want to come in tefillah and actualize all those thoughts and feelings within the text of tefillah that's been guided for us. Hameichin mitzadei gover. How many times do we think that we're going one place and really we're going somewhere else? Because Hashem needs us there. And we find ourselves in the place that we're meant to be. One of the best pieces of advice in making tefillah meaningful, Tehillim as well, is to have certain highlights, certain spots in tefillah that really we've researched or we have a story associated with them. And these are moments that we can pause and allow the empathetic listening concept to take place where we're locked in and we know that Hashem likewise is listening to us. For me, one of the expressions in my Riv Davening is particularly meaningful because my Rebbe spent a lot of time in yeshiva emphasizing this. Uga'alo miyad chazak mimenu. Hashem redeems us from things and people that are stronger than us. That's the nature of life. Hashem confronts us with things that naturally we would not survive. Picture Eretz Israel, surrounded by Arab nations. For decades, this has been an example. Uga'alo miyad chazak mimenu. According to nature, it's not happening. How are you going to survive? Right? Rabbi Yaakov Emden said that when he contemplates Jewish history generally, he says, the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim pales compared to what Hashem does for us on a daily basis against all odds. One of my favorite quotes, don't tell Hashem how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big Hashem is. It's a great expression. It has a lot of truth. But it's not the full truth, of course, because you could tell Hashem how big your problems are. But preferably not in a kvetchy way. Just in a factual. Because Hashem is our partner. Ein od milvado. There's no other force that matches Hashem. It all emanated from him, and he retains control over it. And we're perfectly within our bounds as children to turn to Hashem, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem. I'm yearning for your salvation. Help me through this. Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach Hashem. Blessed is the person who does trust Hashem. V'hoya Hashem Miftacho. And indeed, as the Chovos HaLevavos emphasizes, if we trust in Hashem, Hashem will be our trust because that relationship is built. There are many reasons that we daven. One, of course, it's a mitzvah. We have to understand the mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah. The Ramchal points out that often Hashem is ready to give us things, but he doesn't want to give it to us because that will not increase our relationship with him. He waits for us to ask, and then he gives, because then we will have that experience of being heard and will feel that the Yeshua, the salvation, came from him. I think it's important to appreciate that conversations can have lots of purposes, but ultimately the purpose of the conversation is the conversation. When we have a conversation with a spouse, with a loved one, we may or may not resolve whatever we set out in the conversation to resolve. But the fact that we're able to talk freely and we were heard is a very profound experience in and of itself, regardless of the results. There's a great story that I heard from Rabbi Yehuda Jacobs, Zatzal, Mashkiach in Lakewood. He described how during World War I, there were Jews who were holed up in a shack on the border in a city in which the Russians and the Germans were fighting, and you couldn't afford to be seen on the street. You'd be accused by one army, you'd be accused by the other army, and the Jews had no choice but to stay in this shack and daven. Daven for food. They didn't have food. And the davening is becoming very intense. And they realize there's got to be a salvation somehow. Suddenly, a Russian army wagon with supplies passes by their shack, hits a bump, and an entire sack of potatoes falls off the wagon and lands just feet from the door to their shack. They peek out, and they see the sack of potatoes, and they realize this is a gift from Hashem. Their tefillos have been answered. And they slip out carefully, one should see them, and they pull the sack into the shack, close the door, and start distributing the potatoes. There's one Jew, older man, sitting in the corner. He's been davening together with everybody else. He's been weeping. He looks up. He sees everyone has stopped davening, because after all, their tefillos have been answered. And he mumbles, "Until now, we had holy, pristine, profound prayer. And now, a bunch of dirty potatoes." Now, that comment, obviously, is not the whole picture. I'm not withholding potatoes from people who are starving. But it's a very profound comment. It recognizes that the conversation with Hashem was valuable regardless of how Hashem answers. And on some level, this holy Jew is able to feel like he's missing something, because he's no longer engaged together with his friends in that level of tefillah. He got the potatoes. What could be more beautiful? His tefillahs were answered. but the ability to appreciate the conversation for the conversation is an amazing level to experience. Borei nefashos rabos v'chesrono. Hashem creates with deficiencies so that this experience should be able to happen. As Jews, we spend a lot of time davening, and we do it dutifully, with devotion, with love. I suggest that if we view tefillah as a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we can actually experience a very, very profound and personal interaction with Hashem, in which Hashem is inviting us multiple times daily and telling us, come, I'm listening, let's have a conversation. I thank you very much for joining, for listening. Certainly, if there are questions or comments, I'm certainly open to that. Yeshe koach, everyone. May Hashem answer all of our tefillos letovah.